Start it over again, Ray.
Looking for answers, you need a way out. You've been trapped in that trial, full of sorrow and doubt.
Saw a trickle of sunlight, but you found no escape. Just hold on to his promises. He said he'd make a way.
He'll make a way in the middle of nowhere, when it seems no one really cares. He's there by your side. When you feel Satan closing in, don't give up, don't give in. He'll make a way right on time.
Standing at the Red Sea with no place to go, Pharaoh's army was closing in. They would soon overflow.
But right out of nowhere came a mighty strong hand, and he rolled back the waters and made a way out again.
He'll make a way in the middle of nowhere, when it seems no one really cares. He's there by your side. He'll make a way when you feel Satan closing in. Don't give up, don't give in. He'll make a way right on time.
It don't matter what you're going through this morning, no matter how big or small, our Lord will always take care of it. It don't matter if you can't see a way out, he's going to make a way out right on time. He's never late. He's always right on time.
He'll make a way in the middle of nowhere, when it seems no one really cares. He's there by your side. He'll make a way when you feel Satan closing in. Don't give up, don't give in. He'll make a way right on time.
Don't give up,
don't give in. He'll make a way right on time.
Well, can we all say amen?
Amen.
Before I preach this morning, let me remind you that God is still in the business of making a way. God has done some wonderful things all around us. We've watched God answer some prayers. Brother Jason Smith had some prayer needs, and you are aware of that, and God just miraculously, in a touch from God, answered those prayers. Amen. Yeah. several more, God has done some things. God is not finished working miracles. But, and I'm just going to say it the old country way, some of us are too dumb to give God credit for what God's doing. It has absolutely nothing to do with you or me, but it has everything to do with God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Don't think I can't see you just because it's dark. I can still see you. Now, tonight I might not be able to see you. I told Brother Tim I was going to wear my little hat with a light on it tonight so I can see my Bible. Everybody else got light. I don't have any up here. But God is still wonderful, loving, forgiving God who gives us the opportunity to worship Him. According to the Webster Dictionary, there's among many words, one in particular that we use every day. We don't spell it out when we get up in the morning, and we don't spell it out during the day, but we sure put it to use. And it's the word choice. The act, the power of choosing. The process from selecting from two or more things. All of us, every day that we're blessed to live, make choices. Some are unusual choices. Some are unwise choices. But you made some choices before you got here this morning. The clothes we wear, we choose every morning. The food we eat and where we're going to eat, we choose. We make the choice every single day. Some choices are wise choices. We choose to stop eating so much. We choose perhaps to cut down a little bit on our smoking and start exercising. That's a wise choice. But then some of us make unwise choices. That is, like we choose not to come to the Lord's house when He's blessed us with so much. Some folks today got up this morning, made the choice not to come to church. It's not important to come to church. Bless God. You go to the doctor when you're sick, and I've got news for you. All of us are sick folks in need of a Savior. And we gather here and worship. Choices. We make the choice whether we want to be closer to God than we were when we come in this building. Some of you will leave here untouched today because you made the choice before you got here that nothing was going to change in your life. Well, if that was your choice, I'm going to pray that the old-fashioned Spirit of God would knock you to your knees and you discover that it is God who you really need. Some of us choose not to read our Bible. You don't read your Bible as a child of God, you will become a weak, weak Christian. If you don't pick up the pages of the book and read where it talks about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, you'll collapse when hard times come. If you don't pick up the book and read where He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and guess what, church? He says, I'll be the same tomorrow. We need to spend some time in the old-fashioned Bible that I still believe is the infallible and inerrant Word of God for which we guide our lives and base our salvation upon is what's found in the pages of the book. We also choose not to pray, but only when things are going bad. God still wants us to talk to Him when things are good as well as when things are bad. And church, I'll tell you, you can say what you want. It's not coincidental that lightning hits this building again. God is trying to speak to me, and God's trying to speak to you. And we ought to choose to listen to Him. He's in charge. We're not. Oh, I'll tell you, you ought to just try praying sometime and not ask God to do anything. Just thank Him for what He's already done. For God is busy. Busy at work. He's working all around us in spite of what you may think and in spite of me. I am so glad that God is still working. We make choices. And in that process of making choices, you can choose as a church if you want to stay where you are, or if you want blessings that are undeservable to us poured out on us every single day. We can sit here in our sanctuary and look at the beautiful surroundings that God has dimmed the lights to remind us that this is just a building. Oh, it's not about the lights that are burning from our chandelier. It's about the light of the world who we ought to stand in salute today. And that is none other than Jesus Christ. We make a choice. And some of us have got to make the choice to change. You got to choose to change. If we're going to be any closer to the Lord, there's some things that I've got to change. And there's some things that you've got to change. And we cannot afford not to. Let me give you a background of Jeremiah chapter number 7. Jeremiah was concerned for the people of Judah. Their way of worship had become nothing more than a ritual. There's no life in their worship and service to Christ whatsoever. They were just a mundane group of people who were just absolutely going through the motions. Oh, yeah, they came to the temple. They were faithful to come to the temple. But there was no love and there was no life when they got to the temple. For to them, it was just something they were supposed to do. Can I remind you, if you're sitting in this sanctuary and you think this church is something that you're just supposed to do, I'm going to tell you how far you are away from the truth of God. It's not something that we have to do. Thank God, it's an experience when we come in here and we meet in the awesome presence under the awesome power of the King of this universe. Well, I'll tell you, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome opportunity that is given to us as the children of God. And when we come into this place, we come in here sometime and we look so lifeless and we look so loveless, like we hate the world and we don't have anything to celebrate. Can I remind you today, if you don't have anything else to celebrate, just celebrate Jesus. Just celebrate Jesus. We ought to come in here, we ought to look forward to the Lord's day. Why? Because we're going to meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He's going to stop what He's doing, and He's going to pay attention to us sitting here in the sanctuary of Cedar Grove. He's going to know that we're here, and we ought to come in here excited about the opportunity to meet with Jesus. There ought to be some life about us, some oomph about us, some excitement about us, and some thrill about us, and some joy about us. Oh, listen. If you get more excited about a ball game than you do the worship of Jesus Christ, Jesus is not sitting on the throne where He ought to be. Amen. Oh, listen, Jesus today is alive and doing well. And since He's alive and doing well, and He's my Father, then I must be alive and doing well. I was at the accident yesterday, and the man whose life was taking, and the other young guy was pulling a bass boat and been to the lake fishing. And matter of fact, and the vehicle turned over, and the trailer broke, and the boat slid down the highway. And we were there, and the trooper asked me, he said, "Preacher Ron," he said, step on the boat for me and see if you see anything that looks out of ordinary on the boat." And I said, "Okay, that's no problem." And I went back there, and nosing around a little bit, and walking around. And I didn't even think nothing about it. And I pulled the cover up on the live well. There's about 10 or 12 fish in there. And them fish absolutely scared me to death. Flopping in that water, they scared me to death. I wasn't looking to find anything. And I jumped back. It absolutely scared me to death. If Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit, was to get loose in this building, it would scare some of you absolutely to death. The only other encounter you've ever had with Jesus is the day that you accepted Christ. Can I remind you, He's still just as good today as He was the day you accepted Him. And so Jeremiah was concerned about his people. He was concerned, oh, they came to the temple. Yeah, they were doing their rituals and going through their motions and doing all this kind of stuff. And listen, and doing this and doing that. And so he was really concerned because there was no life and no love there. And he said, "You know what? I think it's time for a change. It's time for a change." And God began to speak through Jeremiah to the people. Not that Jeremiah was trying to condemn them, because he probably had done got in the same boat. "For I've got news for you, and you know it. You spend a lot of time around negative folks, you'll become negative yourself. But you spend some time around some positive folks who are always encouraging and always shouting the victory, you'll find yourself shouting even when you've never shouted before." And so he began to share something with them. God has blessed us. Everybody agree? Amen. God wants to bless us. Everybody agree? Well, then if we agree, then we better listen to God. Look with me, Jeremiah chapter 7, at the choice to change. Now, just because you've always done some things certain ways doesn't mean that's the way that God wants it done. In the life of our churches, we've been so afraid to change some things. I will stand up here and tell you, listen, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ and the preaching of His Word must never, ever, ever change. That must not change. But the way we reach people and minister to children and minister to families has got to change. It's got to change. You know why? The old philosophy of me and my four no more don't work when it comes to the church house. And so there's got to be some changes. And if we're going to continue in the blessings of God, we've got to change some things. Look at verse 1. Here's what he said. "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying." Now let me give you just an appetizer in verse 1. He begins to share with us several truths about change. He shares about the promoter of change. Did you notice what it said in verse 1? That God was speaking to Jeremiah. And God was using Jeremiah to speak to the people. But listen, it is God who desires us to change. Nobody, absolutely nobody knows me any better than God. And if God knows that I need to change, you better believe I need to change. And we don't change things in the life of our church because one little group wants it changed over the other church, the other group. We change things in the life of the church because God wants it changed. God wants it changed. God wants it. What's God's desire for our church? I'll tell you what God's desire for our church is, and it's very simple. You don't have to vote on it. God wants us to do everything we can to reach this lost and dying community with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that means that there are going to be some folks that you may not like, and there's going to be some folks that don't dress as good as some of us think we do, and there's going to be a different set of people that's going to have to come into the life of the sanctuary. But in order to do what God wants us to do, God says Himself that you need to change some things.
Amen.
Some of us are not as good as we think we are. If we could sell some of you for what you think you're worth, we could pay our debt off and be debt free. God Himself says, people, you've got to change some things. If we become dead in our worship and dry in our worship and dry in our service and dead in our life for Him and dull for Him, God says, Ron, you need to change. God calls you by name, and He can call you by name if you belong to Him. If God hadn't called you by name lately, maybe you don't belong to Him. And God says you need change. Promoter of change. Verse 2 says, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. That's the place of change. Did you notice where he said change needed to take place? In the Lord's house. In the Lord's house. He didn't say go down there to the nightclub and change some things. No. God said to Jeremiah, stand in the gate. And if you remember, there were three gates of the inner and the upper courts in which he could stand. So Jeremiah was to stand at the gate. Listen, if we're going to reach our community, and if we're going to see lives changed, we must change the way we do things in the Lord's house. What they do at Hardy's shouldn't affect what we do in the Lord's house. We change things in the Lord's house. And just because Cedar Grove's been blessed to be a church for a number of years and gone through buildings and God's blessed us, and just because God has put us in this community and we're right where we're supposed to be, doesn't mean that we don't need to change. The promoter of change is God. The place of change is His house. Look what it said. And proclaim, hear this word. Hear the word of the Lord, all ye Judah, and all who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. You notice who must change? The people of change? They that enter. It's not the lost that needs to change as much as us church folks. Think about it. We can't reach the lost folks if the church folks don't live like they know Christ. We got to change. We've got to change. They got to see a change in us. Our Lord was the promoter of the temple. He said the place was His temple, and those that were involved were the people. Now hear me, and I'm going to get into my message. If we are going to dwell in the blessings of the Lord's presence and the Lord's protection, we can't do things the way we've always done things. And by the way, change in the Lord's house ought to affect everyone. It's easy to see everybody else's faults and not see our own. If you're perfect and I'm sorry, or y'all are sorry and I'm perfect, one of us are not looking the way we're supposed to look. There must be a choice to change. You say, what is it? Well, here's what it is. Look at verse 3. Change is needed. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Now, what place is he talking about? Study it in depth, and it means this. You change the way you're doing things, and I will dwell among you. You'll sense something like you've never sensed before. You'll see things like you've never seen before. And thank God, in 28 years of ministry, I've been in some of those places that God's done some things that I stood back in amazement. And I want you to know that standing on this platform at Cedar Grove, I am here to declare to you that God wants to do things like we've never seen before. God does. God does. But listen, a lot of us don't feel like we're part of the group that needs to change. Everybody in here has got something you need to change in your life. Everybody. And it doesn't matter how close you may be to the Lord, you still need to get closer. And here's what he told them they had to change. He said, you need to change some things in verse 3. It's needed in your actions. He said, amend your ways. Yeah, they went to the temple. They went to the temple. But live contrary before they got to the temple. He said, you got to change your actions. Listen very carefully. The number one person that we try to please with how we live our lives every day is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're trying to please this handful, and you're trying to please this handful, and you're trying to please this handful, and you're trying to please this handful, I'm going to save you from having a heart attack today, because there's absolutely no way you can please four different groups of people. So therefore you stop, back up, and say, all right, God, I'm going to live to please you. If I'm pleasing you, then everything else will fall in line. And those who may not think I'm pleasing you, they won't have an idea of how I'm pleasing you. He said, oh, it's easy to come sit on a pew. It is hard to live for Jesus the other 6 days of the week. Start living the way we ought to live. Start letting lost people see Jesus in you. Stop belly aching and complaining about the bad things and start talking about the good things. Needless to say, I will stand here and tell you there are some good things going on in the life of our church and the people involved in our church. There is some good things going on in our youth program. There is some good things going on through our children. There is some good things happening on Wednesday night. There's some good things happening on Sunday night. You ought to come every once in a while and try it out. You'll discover that God is doing some good things. We focus on the bad all the time. He says, you've got to change your actions. The best proof to a lost and dying world that Jesus is alive and doing well is to let Jesus live in you. Let Jesus live in you. So here's where it falls down. If your conduct right now, sitting in this sanctuary, 5 minutes to 12, does not please God, then you're not where you need to be with God. And you need to change. But, preacher, no buts about it. We've been butting around and missed what God may have for us. Here's what we do. Woo, the Lord is really doing some good things, but I wish this wasn't going on. You've said a positive with a negative, and the negative has killed the positive. Why can't we just say God's doing some good things, period? He said, there must be a change in our actions. Verse 4 says it must be changed in our attitudes. Here's what he said, trust you not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. One major thing that God's trying to show us right here, listen, and I want you to hear it and hear it well. If you get mad, have a discussion about me over lunch. Talk to God about this issue right here. Listen what it says. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. You know what God's trying to remind that group of people who's lost their love and their life when it comes to worship? You know what he's trying to remind them? That the temple don't belong to them to start with. Three times he said, the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. This is not Cedar Grove of Ron. This is not Cedar Grove of Tim. This is not Cedar Grove of the deacons. This is not Cedar Grove of the Sunday school. This is not Cedar Grove of you. This is not Cedar Grove of great-grandma and great-grandpa. This is not Cedar Grove of whoever you may think it is. Can I tell you today, this is Cedar Grove of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we'll start looking at it like that, we'll see God do some things that we've never seen God do before, because the church will no longer be ours, but we'll give it back to the one it belongs to. The Lord. Our attitude. These people's attitude was this. They could live any way they wanted to, do anything they wanted to do, say anything they wanted to say, as long as they came to the temple ever so often. That's what they thought. Oh, you know, if we go to church, then we can do whatever we want to do and God will bless us. Wrong. Wrong. No. This is not a place we run to for protection. No, this is a place we run to sense the awesome presence of God. People use church as a scapegoat. Church is not a scapegoat. Church is an opportunity to gather in worship of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we got to change that attitude. Well, I can do anything I want to do just as long as I can stop by the church ever so often. And you better stop your mess of stopping by the church ever so often. You ought to stop by the church every time the doors are open when you have an opportunity to be here. Do you know something? We can be sitting in this building and be totally away from God. Totally. It was the funniest thing on Wednesday night when the storm came through and lightning hit. I just had said amen to my prayer, if you remember. And I looked and everybody was gone. Everybody was out in the foyer looking to see how bad the storm was. You remember that? Everybody was gone. Everybody was looking, trying to figure out what was going on outside, because we couldn't see because of this building. We just knew something major had happened. You know something? Something major is happening. Jesus is changing lives. Why can't we run to the foyer and shout to the highway that God is still at work at Cedar Grove? Change our attitude. I can be negative like you can, but I'll tell you one thing. If we're negative, then the devil wins and the Lord doesn't. And I've already read the end of the story. I know we're going to win. So why should I act defeated since I already know we're going to win? And it's not about whose crowd's going to win, and it's not about what group's going to win. Guess what? Here's what it says in the back of the book. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ wins. And you can't be a part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and be in different groups. For can I remind you of something? The ground is level at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. our actions, and our attitudes. Don't become a dead Christian. Cold, callous Christian. Cold, callous Christian. Cold, callous Christian. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. This temple is the Lord's. Say, look around. This is the Lord's. But also stop and realize this. Point at yourself and say, this temple is the Lord's as well. And this temple has got to be right before it comes into this temple. And when it gets into this temple and this temple is right, God help us. Put on your seatbelt, for God will always show up. Amen, there is change needed. Change needed. Sacraments, ordinances, membership, baptism, paying tithes, giving love offerings is nothing, absolutely nothing, if you don't have the attitude of Jesus when you do them. Amen. There must be a change. It's needed. And listen to the second thing. Change, when it comes, is always noticed. Always noticed. You won't have to hang a sign around your neck and say, I have been changed. I have been changed. People notice when something's different in your life. And remember, when a people and a place decide to change, the devil and his demons absolutely can't stand it. If Cedar Grove right now on this Sunday morning, July the 15th, 2012, said, we're all going to stand together. And our number one reason for standing together is we want to reach people for Christ. We want to see youth saved. We want to see children saved. And by the way, if you get children saved, you got a good opportunity to get mom and dad saved. And if you get mom and dad and child saved, you got a good opportunity to get grandpa and grandma saved. You know what? It's a chain reaction. But if we don't win the child, you don't win anybody. You don't win anybody. If this crowd on a Sunday morning, July the 15th, said, okay, we're going to change our actions, we're going to change our attitude, and we want to be what God wants us to be, guess what God would do? Guess what God would do? Number one, God in heaven would smile. Number two, God in heaven would release blessings on us like we've never seen before. And number three, God in heaven would give us extra warring equipment. You know why? Because if we decided to do that, there's enough devils on the outside of this building that would fight against us. But remember something. If you decide to do that, then always quote this, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. It'll be noticed. How is it noticed? Verse 5. For if we thoroughly amend our ways and change your attitude and change your actions. If you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, look at verse 6. If you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. Look at verse 7, and I'll explain it. Then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and forever and forever. Now here's what he said will be noticed. Number one, it'll be noticed in our compassion. If you thoroughly, completely mend your ways, change your actions. I'm talking to me. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. I already preached to myself when I've done this. But I'm preaching again. If you mend your ways and do these things, you and I cannot help but love people. And if you have a compassion, that compassion will cause us to treat people differently. Differently. People will become a priority, and it'll show up in the way we treat them. I was standing in the ER at Anderson Hospital yesterday afternoon, was there for about 6 hours with all this stuff was going on with accident. I had a lady in a room walked up to me and said, are you Preacher Ron? I said, I sure am. She says, here's what she said, and I'm not going to go into details. She said, I'm a member at Cedar Grove. And I said, where you been? I've been there. You had? And she said, I ain't been to Cedar Grove in about 8 years. And she began to tell me the reasons why she didn't come to Cedar Grove. Just open and bluntly, just laid everything out online on me. And I don't know if it was the truth or not. I don't know. I don't know if it was or not. But very quickly, with what she had to say, I was reminded that compassion reaches everyone. Compassion reaches everyone. He said something about strangers here. You know who our strangers are? You know who our strangers are? You say, oh, that's the lost folk. No, no, no. That is true. You can go to church with people that are strangers. Because you've never opened up and loved one another. You've never opened up your heart and said, okay, I want to love like Jesus loves. I want to see you like Jesus sees you. I want to do for you what Jesus would do for you. You know what Jesus would do for each one of us? Lay down his life if necessary. Already has. You get a drug addict who's out of church, who knows that the church won't condemn them for their actions. You've got a better opportunity to reach that drug addict than you do if they feel like the church will judge them because of their past. And by the way, church, let me remind you, according to the things of God's word, if we've asked God to forgive us, we don't have a past. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. So if you and I, Cedar Grove, right now, July 15th, all of us are here. You say, well, some folks ain't here that needs to be here. We're here. If we'd say, all right, we want to change according to God's plan, not because preachers tell us to do it, not because this person thinks I ought to. Guess what? Compassion would become the old-fashioned compassion. And strangers wouldn't be strangers any longer. That's the first thing. The second thing would happen is, if you notice what he said, shed not innocent blood. You know what he's talking about here? There would be a cooperation. That means cooperating together. Oh, I'm sure. I've got differences. You got differences with me. I've got differences with you. You got differences with Tim. Tim has differences with you. We're human. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Under the umbrella of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, we've got to cooperate with one another. We got to. If I don't cooperate with you, then I'm failing God. I'm failing God. And I'm going to tell you what happens when you fail God. God will carry you to the woodshed. And God may be trying to tell us, hey, I died for you all. We'll cooperate together. It's not if you like my tie or not, and it's not if you like my shirt or not that really matters. It's not if I like your dress or not, or your tie and coat that matters. That don't really matter. When it comes to worship, all we should see in each other is red. You know why? Because we've been washed in the blood of Christ. We've been washed in the blood of Christ. And I have failed. I'll be the first one to stand here and tell you that. I failed. And I'll be the first one to tell you that some of the failures that I've had, God has so graciously forgiven me of some of my failures. And if I stand right in the sight of God today, that's what matters. But I'm going to be one of these button Baptists and tell you, there's not a person in this building that's perfect anyway. I'll admit my failures. Will you admit yours? There's got to be cooperation. There is nothing any better than for a group of church folks to cooperate with one another. You might not like the way I'm fixing to say this, but I'm going to say it just like it is. Hell couldn't touch us. Hell couldn't touch us if we built a wall together. There'll be compassion. There'll be cooperation. There's one last thing that's very important, and I know it's a few minutes after 12. That's very important, but I want you to hear this. When change really comes to me as an individual, to the church, there'll be more compassion, more cooperation, but it'll also be noticed in our companion. You know something? Our companion will be singular and not plural. You know who our companion is? The Lord Jesus Christ. You notice what he said? I'll cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever and ever and ever. If I had my choice today for you to be here or God be here, I'm sorry, but I'd choose God. If you had your choice today for me to be here or God be here, you're crazy if you don't say you'd rather have God here. But the good thing is, we can all be here and God be here at the same time. Amen. We'll have a new companion. If you really believe that God is here, then why can't we worship and act like God is here? It's like one of the Shedder Fire guys said on Monday when he came up here to put out this bush and brought the grass truck up. He said, "Preacher, when I pulled up, I thought it was one of those burning bushes experiences where the bush was burning." And he said, "If that bush had spoke to me, I'd have left truck and all with you." Can I tell you this? God still speaks through bushes. God still speaks through lightning storms. God still speaks through a baby being born. God still speaks when God works some miracles in somebody's life and tumors disappear. God still works miracles when he gives us the grace and strength to live each day. I'll tell you when I would be scared at Cedar Grove. I'd be scared if God left. Because we can't do it without God. Me and Tim could walk on this platform in a few moments and both of us step down and resign and leave this place. That'd be a mixture of emotions for everybody. But I'll tell you this, you'd soon go on, find another pastor and somebody else. But I'll tell you one thing, if God steps up here and resigns this church, you are doomed. You're doomed. For he wants to remind you today, it's his anyway. And the only reason he hadn't taken over this church and showed us that it's his, he's given us the opportunity to change before he does so. Contrary to the way Baptists think, this church is not governed by the pastor. This church is not governed by a group of men sitting in a room. This church is governed by God himself, who is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. And when he's in charge, we may have to jump a hurdle or two, but I'll guarantee you when he's in charge, he'll take care of everything. Would you join this pastor on July the 15th, 2012, 12:14 on a Sunday morning and say, "God, if there's anything in my life that needs to change, change it right now. change it right now, that I might be a part of what you want done for your glory. Did you notice whose glory I said? His glory. Stand with me this morning.